Wake up with Petey.
Petey.
The Big Show.
3BA.
Time to shoot the breeze with Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Good morning to you, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for asking. How things up Sydney way? Going good, I hope?
Yeah, it's all sunny.
Excellent, excellent. Very shortly, we're about to talk Christmas, but first up, I think we've started our little Shoot the Breeze segment every week for a number of months now with something to do with COVID-19 and the ways some around the world are using COVID to contribute to scientific research for them at home and how we Australians can help out as well.
You know how for a while there, early COVID, everybody was saying they felt bad about themselves because they weren't cooking sourdough bread?
Yes.
I'm here to make you feel worse.
Oh, great,
because
thanks.
Not only do you not have to sit there and watch Netflix all day, you could actually be contributing as citizen scientists to monumental data collections in research projects. So, for example, a number of field research projects are paused, but hundreds of scientists are still able to do research from home, and they often require the help of the rest of us, so known as citizen scientists. And so this is stuff that parents can do with their kids at home. You can do things such as sift through wildlife camera footage, images of galaxies, read and transcribe diaries. There are currently 75 projects available for public assistance. I just want to run through three of my favourites.
Okay.
Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics are looking for people to transcribe 130 years of work across 2,500 notebooks that were written by women who were cataloguing and counting stars and galaxies, documenting the night sky, measuring distances in space. In South Sudan, they're looking for people to help them watch camera footage of giraffes and chimps and other wildlife to see when they come in to certain hotspots that are known for parasite transmission and during what time of year. And NASA are calling amateur astrophysicists to look through images and identify celestial objects and image artifacts as they're trying to search for new objects around the edge of our solar system. So this is stuff that's amazing and fun, educational, good for the family. Everyone can be a part of it. And as some of the researchers say, there's still no substitute for the human eye when it comes to recognising subtle motions in astronomical images.
So, Alex, the question begs, do you get paid to do this, to be a citizen scientific person?
Do you get paid to watch Netflix?
No.
But it's fun and you learn something.
Right. So it's Netflix for me then.
You're like, I'm not going to look through space.
That should be on the list, watching Netflix and judging out of 10 how good their shows are. That'd be great scientific research.
You know what? They actually do sometimes need that research, though. They do actually ask for groups of people to help them rate certain shows.
Imagine trawling through all those notebooks and doing a bit of transcribing. I mean,
I think it's hilarious that your first response is, would I get paid for that? I would pay to have the opportunity to do this.
I'd rather bond with my cat.
Hey.
Speaking of which, there is actually a good way to bond with your cat, Alex Chelios.
Hey, if you want to bond with your cat because it's aloof, this is the way to do it. Scientists have done research to find out what cats respond the most to. And it happens to be when you look at your cat, narrow your eyes and blink slowly. So researchers observed cat and human interactions, and they were able to confirm that expressions that are made are receptive to cats when they replicate how they look. So, for example, the cats are often, partially they've got closed eyes, and they are often slow blinking. So to see a human do that back to them, it is how they feel friendly and open to interaction.
I just tried that, Alex, and not only do I feel, but I think I look stupid as well.
Well, you know what? Does it matter? Would you rather look stupid or would you rather be your cat's BFF?
I'm going back to Netflix. To wrap up this morning, Alex, and I want to premise this little chat about this topic with something that I just said to our newsreader, Brett McDonald. I posed the question of the day to him, and the question was this, Alex.
Yeah.
When you look at a Christmas tree, do you ever think, which part's the front and which part's the back? Now, before you answer, I think you might have the answer for us in some form or fashion. Talk to us about Christmas trees that are cut in half.
So this is for people who are lazy.
That's me.
And also people who maybe have small apartments.
Yep.
So it's the idea where you get a Christmas tree, but it's cut in half and it lays against the wall. So from the front of the tree, it looks like a normal tree, but then on the side, you see that it's only half a tree. And there's two reasons why you would have this. One is you don't want to, you know, bother decorating the back because nobody's going to see it anyway. But also, if you have an apartment, it saves space. So this has become quite a popular product in the UK. And in Australia, there's a particular Christmas tree brand that is quite high-end, and they've started selling them as well.
I think this is an absolutely brilliant idea. We were setting up the tree last year, and you know what my wife said to me? Don't worry about the back. No one sees it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the exact answer of what Elise needs.
I think it's brilliant. Half a Christmas tree. And I believe there are also, I've done some research on this, there are trees that are missing the lower branches so you can fit more presents underneath.
Yeah, we're orchestrating the tree so that we can be more of consumers than ever. Yeah.
Now, do you know what else I also discovered when it comes to Christmas trees?
What?
You know how every year we decorate them with tinsel and baubles and all that sort of stuff. Well, while I was doing some research on half a Christmas tree or a Christmas tree that's got no lower branches, I came across a lady whom last year, instead of using the usual baubles and tinsels and stuff, she garnered up photos of her family, had them printed out and used them as Christmas tree decorations. Looked beautiful.
Question,
mm-hmm.
Would you ever have a Christmas tree that is white? You know how sometimes people have that?
No.
No, me either.
I no.
Anyone in Australia who's ever had a snowy Christmas tree.
No, because we don't get snow in Australia at Christmas time.
Exactly.
Our trees, I'm growing a Christmas tree, a real one, in our back deck area.
Wow.
It's not very tall yet, but in around 30 years' time, I won't have to get a new Christmas tree.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. I'm a big Christmas person, as you know.
Yeah, definitely no white Christmas trees.
No white trees here. No half trees for me.
No, I think the half tree ideas are...
I'm a bit much. I want one and a half trees in my place.
Merry Christmas, Alex Jellios.
Thank you.
Have a great week.